Now he says, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Paraclete, and he'll come to you. And when he's come, now he's going to perform several ministries. Our Lord mentions one of the ministries that he has to the world. Now, this is the business of the church and believers as far as the world is concerned. When he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, he'll reprove the world, and what does that mean? Well, he'll convict the world. The word in the Greek is alenko. I counted, I think, 23 times that occurs in the trial of Socrates as recorded by Plato. Years ago when I was in college, I purposely just checked that out. And it's a legal term. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world, just as a prosecuting attorney brings in evidence. Now, what will he convict the world of? Well, we're told here he will convict the world. When he's come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. These are the three things that the Spirit of God will do in reference to the world in these days. And that, I take it, is his present ministry in the world. Now, there is another ministry which Paul mentions in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and that is that he restrains evil in the world. In other words, it's the Spirit of God alone who can make a climate in which the Word of God can go out and reach the hearts and lives. Now, I personally believe that he not only will take the Word of God and use it as we trust is using it right now, and will use it when the Word of God's given out on radio. But I believe it's the Spirit of God that keeps the radio open. He's restraining in the world. You remember the Lord Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia, I've set before you an open door. You have a little strength. We're pretty weak if you want to know the truth. I was rather amused the other day. I was taking my family and some friends, and we were looking over a cult headquarters in this area, and they have quite a layout worth millions of dollars. And I said, almost ironically, I said, you know, when you compare this operation to our little operation, ours is not much. It looks very insignificant. Our Lord said, you are weak, but I'll keep before you an open door. And I think that's one of the things the Spirit of God does. In reference to the world, when the Word of God is to go out, he'll keep these avenues open. We pray that he will. Then he'll open up new channels for us. And that's his work of restraining. But he also now will reprove or convict the world. Now he convicts the world of what? Well, three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. But what kind of sin? And what does he mean by righteousness, and what does he mean by judgment? Now, we're not left to our own devices here, but he explains, the Lord does, what he means. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, what is the greatest sin in all the world? Murder? No. I suppose if you'd pick out the greatest sinner in this age, in this century. We've had some rascals, haven't we, in this century? Every century's had rascals. We certainly haven't lacked for them. We've had quite a few of them. I'm sure that many folk would pick Hitler. I sure would pick him. And Stalin was one. There was Karl Marx. And then there's been some of the gangsters and the heads of the mafia and some of the revolutionaries. I'm sure that a great many people would pick these out as being the great sinners, the great rascals of this age. Well, who is the greatest sinner that there is today? I want to say this to you very carefully, and will you listen to me? Did you know you could be the greatest sinner that's living today or has lived in this century? Somebody says, now, wait a minute here, preacher. You can't say that to me. I'm not. I'm no rascal. I'm a law-abiding citizen. But have you accepted Christ? Listen to him. Of sin, because they believe not on me. What is the one sin? Actually, it's not an unpardonable sin because it's a state. And that's the state of unbelief. God has no remedy for that, because his remedy is to trust Christ. Now, if you do not trust him, then you're lost. And it's just as simple as that, just as important as that, and that is a decision that every man has to make of sin because they believe not on me. So the man today, whoever he is that's rejecting Jesus Christ, that man, in God's sight, is the greatest sinner. Now, we've already seen that before, back in the 15th chapter. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. And friends, when you have heard the gospel, well, believe me, you are responsible. And if you don't make a decision for Christ, you've actually committed a sin in that state of unbelief that you're in. Of sin because they believe not on me. And then of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, now, what does he mean by that? Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. He was delivered for our offenses and he was raised for our justification of our righteousness. So he says, of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only when he died on the cross, he died a judgment death. He took my guilt, your guilt, and he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. That is, he was raised that you and I might not only have sin subtracted, but that we might have righteousness added. And that is something, by the way, that's very important, that righteousness is something that you and I need. Not only do we need down here to have our sins forgiven, but how are you going to stand in God's presence if all he did was die for you, and that means that you have a pardon? Then you are nothing in the world but a pardoned criminal in heaven. But you see, he's made over to us his righteousness. He was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. And then Paul makes it very clear that Christ is our righteousness. He's made unto us righteousness. And that is the righteousness of God today. That's the righteousness that Paul spoke of, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And that means he not only subtracts your sin, he adds his righteousness. And if you have any standing today before God, it's in Christ, and he is your righteousness. You have as much right in heaven as he has, or you have no right there at all. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And then the third thing, of judgment. Now, what does that mean? That judgment is coming someday? No. What he says, because the prince of this world is judged. In other words, the prince of this world, that's Satan, he's already been judged. And this is difficult for a great many believers to understand, that you and I live in a judged world. You hear people say today, well, I'll take my chances. They act as if they're on trial. You are not on trial. God has already declared you a lost sinner, and he's already had judgment against you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, you and I are living in a world that's already judged. It's already judged, and it's just like the man waiting in death row for execution. The only thing is, those waiting in death row probably will not go to the gas chamber or the electric chair today. But you see, God's no sob sister. God is no politician who's trying to run for office. He's already in office. He's the judge of all the earth. And therefore, man will come up before him for judgment. And that judgment is just a hand down that you're guilty, friends. This idea that when you come up before God, you're going to be able to plead your case and tell him how good you are and what a sweet little boy you were, a sweet little girl. My friend, your righteousness and my righteousness is filthy rags in his sight. And I want to tell you, when you and I stand there someday and all we've got is a bunch of filthy rags, we won't look very good. We'll be not only ashamed of ourselves, but we'll see how guilty we are. So that of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And you remember when Paul reasoned with old Felix, he reasoned with him concerning judgment to come, that he was living in a judge world, and that he wasn't on trial, he was already a lost sinner. That frightened that old ruler. And I tell you, a great many people don't like that today. They resent this a great deal. They don't like it. There are many things about God that the lost world hates. The lost man hates the fact that God, for instance, is omnipotent, and that this is his universe, and he's running it his way. God today is the one in charge. They don't like that. They don't like that God saves by grace, and that man is a lost sinner in his sight.